This is Dr. Cheryl Spellman, and you're listening to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today. As always, this is a fantastic opportunity to get empowered with truthful information so you can make the most informed decision possible regarding your health, your hormones, and your well-being in general. So there's another wonderful topic that we're going to be discussing today. We're going to be talking about the connection between your teeth, your oral health, and your general well-being. My dad always used to say in one of his immortal sayings, be true to your teeth or they'll be false to you. So we're going to be talking all about what's really going on within our mouth. And you know what? It's more than you think, and you need to pay attention because your general health and well-being, your children's health, the degree that you are able to experience longevity, a pain-free body, there are just so many issues that are directly impacted to the health of your teeth and gums. And we're going to be talking all about this subject because they are all connected. So to help us understand this really important topic, we're going to be talking today to Dr. Victor Zinus, who is a practicing holistic dentist for the past 25 years. He received his degree from the New York City College of Dentistry and completed an internship at the Eastman Dental Center in Rochester, New York. He has always believed that dentistry needed to do more than just fix teeth. In 1980, he received a master's in science and nutrition from the University of Bridgeport in Bridgeport, Connecticut. He received fellowship status from the Academy of General Dentistry in 1982, and he is the author of several books, including Healthy Mouth, Healthy Body, Living a Longer Life Naturally, and Your Tongue Never Lies. He is also a contributing writer for Rodale's The Herbal Drugstore, and he makes regular appearances on radio and TV. And Dr. Zinus is one of the contributors of the film Food Matters, and he also hosts a Healthy Mouth, Healthy Body show on NewYorkTalkRadio.net. And in between all of that, he has a practice. So hello and welcome, Dr. Victor Zinus.
As always, a pleasure.
You know, I was telling you earlier today when we had a chat that I attended a conference this weekend that was held right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, from the International Academy of, what is it?
Oral Medicine and Toxicology.
Yes. And I have to say, it was such an enlightening experience where these amazing holistic or biological dentists came from all over Canada and the U.S. to really unite in their passion, which is to provide healthy dentistry and to overturn some of the myths and misinformation and mispractice of dentistry as the traditional approach is doing. So, I'm a bit of a heretic. You're a bit of a heretic. So that's what our conversation is going to be about today. We're going to be uncovering the real story, the truth that everyone really needs to know in order to create a healthy mouth and a healthy body. So, you know, I guess I want to start, Victor. I'm always curious as to know what turned a good, traditionally trained dentist into a heretic.
Before we go there, can I do my, I guess it's disclaimers?
Absolutely.
Okay, if the following material that we're talking about today is not endorsed by any scientific association, the American Dental Association and many state dental boards do not approve of the removal of serviceable mercury amalgam fillings, healthy root canals, or hidden bone lesions from patients, or recognize holistic dentistry as a specialty. The choice of treatment, however, rests solely with the patient. And the information in this presentation is strictly for informational purposes. It's only to give you a point of view, and you may want to research it further. It's not intended to be a substitute for a professional consultation with a physician or other health care provider. We cannot be held responsible for any adverse effects or consequences resulting from the use of this information. If you need medical advice, please consult your health care professional. That's it.
Okay, so we got that disclaimer out of the way. And it's so interesting. Is that because it's such a controversial issue that you are really
well? It isn't really controversial. It's only controversial in not even Congress so much, but according to the ABA. So what I've just read from you is three slides I have on my lecture. It's a PowerPoint presentation. You're a cancer survivor. Congratulations. Now what? Same old, or something new, such as building your immune system up. And then we put this down because the information is based on the American Cancer Society's 1999 statistics. It's actually more than what I have here. But it's 1 in 2 American men will develop some form of cancer in their lifetime, and 1 in 3 American women. So we put the disclaimer in after that because we don't want people thinking, oh, they said my cancer will go away if I do this. And you can't. You don't really know.
But we are going to be talking about the very important subject, and maybe it's a bit of new information for many of my listeners, of that connection between what's going on in our mouth, the kind of dentistry we have, the conditions in our mouth, and how it can be contributing to a number of chronic illnesses, including increased incidence of cancers.
Yeah. Here's a couple little things you might want to know. Study from the Michigan School of Dentistry. This was in 1997, so a lot of stuff's been around a while. Associates poor dental health with early death from any cause. Any cause. University of Alabama discovered among 120 women in rural Alabama that those with dental infections were 3 times more likely to have premature low birth weight babies than women with healthy teeth and gums. If your gums are infected, you triple the risk of having a stroke. This is a study done with 10,000 people at the University of Buffalo. And the same bacteria, another study showed that the same bacteria causing the gum problems end up either directly infecting your heart arteries or somehow causing other blockages. And, none of this is new. It's starting to show now. Now people finally in mainstream are now talking about C-reactive proteins, which is periodontal disease is related to increased levels of C-reactive proteins. And these are toxins which are generated as waste by the periodontal bacteria that get into the blood and trigger the liver to make more C-reactive proteins. And studies have shown that those with moderate or advanced periodontal disease have much higher levels of C-reactive protein than those who do not have periodontal disease. And we now find that C-reactive proteins are a better indicator of heart disease than cholesterol or triglycerides. And we now know that periodontal disease is a risk factor for prostate cancer, probably breast cancer, and we feel it's many other cancers.
Okay,
so that's a good start.
I want to go back to my first question, and then we do have a lot of important topics we want to cover. So what was your epiphany that opened you up?
Well, I went to dental school quite by accident. Wasn't anything I wanted to do. I was, in college and never thought, oh, my God, I'm going to be a dentist. Can't wait. But I really didn't know what to do with myself. I always had this vision of med school and then being out at a party where I had like 8 or 9 beers and somebody called me up and said, oh, you have to go to the hospital. It's a life and death situation. And I'm, inebriated. And that wasn't something I wanted my life to become, that to me, be a good doctor is you're on call all the time. I got into dental school. I went, got out, started a practice. And after 3 years, I realized, nothing was working. People would come in, we would do their fillings, talk to them about gum disease, maybe do a little surgery. They'd go home, they'd come in maybe a year or two later, do their fillings, do a little gum surgery, they'd go home, come in, and it was the same thing over and over again. So I quit. I dropped out of dentistry, became a primal therapist and worked with an improv theater, a group in New York, and set up a practice in New York City doing therapy with people. And one thing that happened at that time was I was in my own therapy, and I was changing my life around from smoking a pack of cigarettes per day, eating, shall we say, less than great, to really cleaning up my act, giving up cigarettes, eating organic. And I started to see that nutrition made a big difference on the way my patients reacted in therapy sessions in terms of their feelings. For instance, if you have low blood sugar, you'll develop anxiety and you'll be anxious. And if you come walking into a therapy session saying, gee, I'm anxious, and we try to work on that anxiety, nothing's going to happen because it's not from anything in your past. It's from your low blood sugar. So once I saw that with people, I thought, I wonder if this could apply to dentistry. And at that time, I was already going to health food stores for my food and doing a lot of juicing. And I ran across a couple books, one by a dentist named Harold Hawkins, which was published in the 1940s, and another one by Melvin Page, published in the 1950s. And they talked about nutrition and how it can affect dentistry. And all of a sudden, I said, this is what I want to do. So I went back to my dental school with the books and showed it to them and said, can you show me how to set up a practice like this? And they politely said, get lost. That has no place in dentistry whatsoever. So I said, thank you very much, and came back out and found myself taking a lot of chiropractic courses because they were the only ones interested in the mouth and how that affected your body. And the most annoying thing about this was known in the 1920s, were classic studies done. There was a chief researcher for the American Dental Association, his name is Weston Price, who wrote a book, Physical Degeneration and Nutrition. And you can get a copy of this book at the Price Podger Foundation in California. And one of the things he noticed was that two things. He went around the world and took pictures of people in cultures that were not eating advanced civilized food. And he found that their teeth were in perfect condition. And then he took pictures of people from civilized countries, and he found that their teeth were not in perfect condition, which is something to start thinking about. So he went around more and more and found more and more of this. And what he found was that it really depended on what you ate. For instance, he did a six-year study to see if the modern diet was causing physical degeneration. And he compared primitive groups of meat eaters and those that were mostly vegetarian. So he checked out the Maasai of Tanganyika, the Chuwe of Kenya, Uganda, and the Norse tribe, which are all cattle-eating people. And their diets consist largely of milk, blood, and meat, some cases supplemented with fish and small amounts of grain. And he found that they had great physiques and very few cavities, usually around 5%. Then he checked out the vegetarian Bantu tribes. They had a lot of sweet potatoes, corn, beans, bananas, and they were less robust than their meat-eating neighbors, but they also had around 5% of decay. Compare that to between 20 and 30% in civilized diets. And then he found that the healthiest people were the Dinkers, a Sudanese tribe at the western bank of the Nile, and they ate more of an omnivoric diet, a lot of vegetables and some meat. And he concluded that you need both, and you need to have less processed foods than we as a civilization use. And after he, well, before he published, he went back to the people he saw before who were now on civilized diets and took pictures. And the changes which he shows in his book is just remarkable. It's like someone set a hand grenade off in his mouth, and where you see just cavity after cavity after cavity. So he concluded that we really need to change diets. And it was, thank you very much, goodbye. And then he went on to do other research. The second bit of research was about root canal teeth. He noticed that his patients who had root canals were getting problems. They would get kidney problems and or heart disease or joint pain or a lot of different things. And he thought maybe there's some sort of connection between a root canal and what's going on in the rest of the body. So he did a root canal on someone, and if they had, let's say, heart problems afterwards, he took the tooth out, ground the tooth up, and put it underneath the skin of a rabbit. And if it came from someone with a heart problem, the rabbit got heart disease. If it came from somebody with a kidney problem, rabbit got kidney disease. If it was a healthy tooth, the rabbit stayed healthy. And he concluded that root canals are toxic and should be taken out. And that became a treatment of choice for a little while until the advent of antibiotics. And then everybody ignored that and went back to doing root canals. I believe in the mid-90s, a book came out, The Root Canal Cover-Up, by George Meinek, basically published Weston Price's studies all over again. And it, again, started a big controversy in dentistry, which is still going on. And that's been part of what's been going on with the holistic movement all this time.
You know, it really...
So here we are. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it really impairs every facet, well, I would say almost every facet of dentistry, from the kinds of fillings we get to how we look after the health of the gums to how we deal with dead teeth like root canals, and, you know, all the key features of what is going on to support people and have healthy teeth, healthy gums is controversial in how the traditional approach functions. And it's a really important topic because what Weston A. Price found out and what leading research is finding out is that we are making choices on how to deal with teeth issues that can directly compromise the health of ourselves, of adults, and also the health of children. And it's kind of a big wake-up call. I guess it's like the wake-up call that's going on in functional integrative medicine compared to traditional medicine, that there's two different worldviews emerging, and one is the orthodoxy, as it's always been, but the other is really an approach that is much more open, investigating, and has the evidence to see and make connections from a more holistic, global perspective. And one of those perspectives is that our teeth are not separate from what's going on in the rest of our body.
No, not at all. It's it is changing. I gave a lecture on cancer, you know, that I mentioned before, at one of the radiation oncology centers in New York two weeks ago. And they're great people, terrific people. If anyone wants a recommendation, you can email me, and I'll be happy to do that. But they're very conventional, and I know them, and sent them the lecture, and I got a letter, email back saying, this is quite interesting, when do you want to come down? You know, so they're open to it, but there's a lot of resistance, and there's a lot of things out there that simply aren't true. It's just coming to the forefront now, where we were talking about this really in 1980s, we talked about mercury, and was a classic study done that was actually published in a dental journal where they took volunteers, they took blood samples, and they measured the T-cell count. The T-cells are the cells that control your whole immune system. And then they put mercury fillings in the volunteers and then took blood again and measured the T-cell count, and it dropped by 40%. Then they brought the volunteers back, took the mercury fillings out, measured the blood cells, and the T-cell count went back up to normal. So the article concluded, and this was published in the Journal of Prosthetic Dentistry, I believe it's August 1988, where the article concluded that mercury filling seems to have an adverse effect on the quality and quantity of human T-cells. And then I never saw a follow-up study after that. But you start looking and you're going, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why do we have toothpaste that you can pick up in any drugstore, supermarket in the country, all the leading tubes, that says on the back of it, if you take more than the required amount, which is something like the size of a pea is what you're supposed to use, you should contact the Poison Control Center. And nobody says a word about that. It's like
it's true. It's like we don't read it. We ignore it. So
yeah.
So let's go through some of the key issues that come up in regards to our dental health. And we can look at what you are really passionate about is helping people understand the connection between these issues and their health and perhaps the best way to go about addressing them. So let's start with fillings in our teeth. You know, I was one of these kids that, you know, six, seven, eight, I guess after the permanent teeth came in, whatever that age was, I remember like Saturday morning trips to the dentist. I, for whatever reason, had very vulnerable teeth, and I got a lot of fillings, a lot of fillings. Now, what do we need to know about these fillings and what the real risks are? Let's start there.
They're toxic. They're plain toxic. In the cancer PowerPoint lecture we have, I'm going to just read to you a couple slides. And if anyone wants this, you're welcome to email me at zeines@aol.com, and I'll send it to you. It's not a long presentation. It's about 15 minutes. You could go through it fast. But we talk about things that can affect having cancer recur. And there are books out on this, Cure for All Advanced Cancers by Holder Clark. A lot of people have said this, but basically I'll go to, so what's in your mouth that can affect your general health? And the first thing we pop up with are, according to the World Health Organization, amalgams, that's mercury, fillings, are a prime source of mercury exposure. Over 180 million Americans have mercury fillings. Each amalgam filling can release between 3 and 7 micrograms of mercury every day. It's released and forms methylmercury, which is highly toxic, and it's absorbed through the oral tissues and air passages, transported through the brain and other body tissues. And just so you know, the average individual has about 8 mercury fillings and can absorb up to 120 micrograms of mercury each day from their mouth every day that these things are in their mouth. In contrast, if you're eating mercury-tainted seafood, you'll only get 2.3 micrograms, which is enough for scientists to call for a worldwide warning on seafood. But we're talking, 60 times as much, and it's like, okay. And it isn't okay.
So what we need to say, and we talked about this earlier too, that the most toxic metal on the planet is mercury.
So it's
you know, why do we want it in our mouth? Because as you were saying, as long as we have it in those fillings, and what percentage of fillings are mercury?
What percentage today?
Yeah.
Probably 70%.
So 70%, you know, when you have your silver fillings, it's mercury. That's silver.
Mm-hmm. They're not silver at all.
Here's
a little statistic. 1991, Germany recommended to the German Dental Association that no further amalgam fillings should be placed in children, pregnant women, or people with kidney orders. 1997, Sweden banned mercury fillings after determining that at least a quarter of a million Swedes have immune and other health disorders relating to the mercury in their teeth. Denmark has banned mercury fillings since 1999. According to the observations made by internationally known medical researcher Yoshoki Amura, he's an MD, I'm quoting now, all cancer cells have mercury in them. And additional support for this finding comes from an article, The Pathogenic Multipotency of Mercury, by Hans Nolte. He's an MD, wrote this in Biological Therapy, Journal of Natural Medicine, June 1988. So this has been known for a long time. Amor's clinical observation concluded, and this was about cancer, one of the primary reasons cancer returns is because there's residual mercury which reignites a pathological environment even after surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, and alternative therapies report a positive effect. So the toxicity has been known for quite some time. U.S. Congress in 2001 passed the Disclosure Act, which says mercury is an acute neurotoxin. It's the most toxic radioactive element and the most volatile heavy metal. And the provisions that they wanted was, this is in 2001, which is interesting because it's still being used, no amalgam for children under 18, for pregnant or nursing mothers, a health warning for all, and a phase out of all mercury in 5 years. It's still being used.
So do you know what percentage of traditional dentists are using the mercury amalgam?
Oh, sure, all of them.
Really?
Yeah, there's a new buzzword out. It's called holistic dentistry. And a lot of dentists are seeing that people are no longer really going for high-priced cosmetic work. That phases out. So now the new buzzword is, oh, holistic, I'll be holistic. And I'm amazed at the number of calls I get, you know. I had all my mercury taken out, and I'm not sure it was a good idea. Can you give me any information? And I said, well, what kind of protocol did you go on? Said, oh, what do you mean protocol? Well, what did he do before he did the mercury fillings? Oh, he just gave me Novocaine and took him out.
So, you know,
and then I took,
Hang on, Victor. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and really reveal some quite shocking information and strategies of what people need to do regarding their teeth or fillings or root canals to stay healthy. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. We are here at What Women Must Know, and we will be right back. Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome back to What Women Must Know. We're having a really important conversation with Dr. Victor Zinus, who is one of the original biological dentists. That means he practices a form of dentistry that understands the connection between what's happening in your mouth, the impacts on the body, and vice versa, and really pioneers natural, safe approaches to support the health of both your mouth and your body. And he is also the author of several books, including Healthy Mouth, Healthy Body. And his website is NatDent, N-A-T-D-E-N, for natural dentist, natdent.com. So, Victor, we were talking about mercury amalgams. We're starting there. And in the rest of the show, we're going to be addressing some of the other issues that people need to know about regarding their dental health and its impact on their body. What are some of the symptoms of mercury toxicity?
See, that's the problem. There are no specific symptoms. There's a host of things that can happen. For instance, in my book, Healthy Mouth, Healthy Body, I have three pages, just a list of what you can undergo when you have mercury problems. Most people don't really have mercury toxicity where they're really sick from it. It's just low level, and it just stays there. And you may find you're not sleeping as well, or your memory's not the way it was, or eyesight can be different, and you don't have the energy you want. You might be a little depressed. But there's no one specific thing. And that's one of the problems that mainstream dentistry has. If everybody who had a mercury filling put in found that, oh, I had this filling put in, and since that's put in, I have had pain in my right arm. And every time mercury was put in, that showed up. Then they might look at it better, but it's very diffuse. I've had people come in, we've taken mercury fillings out, and I hear that, my sleep is much better. Or, gee, you know, since I've done that, I've gotten much healthier. I can feel a change in my energy levels, or my memory is better. We've even had some people come in where they said their vision is better. And a number of people have come in where they've said that, and this is hard to explain in a way. It's like they say, you know, I used to feel like I was walking around with my finger in a light bulb socket. And since you've taken those fillings out, it's gone.
So the mercury, it's like low, because you're releasing mercury, organic methyl mercury. Every time you're grinding your teeth, eating something hot, you're releasing these organic mercury vapors that can get absorbed. And it's a neurotoxin, so who knows what it might be doing.
Yeah.
And of course, depending on the health status, you know, other things are...
You want a couple symptoms?
Yeah.
Okay. Bleeding, signs and symptoms can affect the eyes, bleeding from the retina, dim vision, inability to fix one's gaze, a film appears over the eyes, dry eyes, irregular heartbeats, strong pains on the left side of the chest, anxiety, asthmatic breathing, red, irritated throat, inflammation in the upper airways, difficulties in swallowing, amnesia, tension, strain, anxiety, irritability, indecision, mental or emotional depression. You know, this just goes on and on. Tiredness all the time, feeling of being old, resistance to intellectual work, headaches, increased need for sleep, vertigo, increased salivation, sour metallic taste is often present, bleeding gums, which is also from gum disease, and we really should talk about that.
Great.
Because it's all joint pains, pains in the lower back. It just goes on and on.
So do you recommend people get their mercury amalgams taken out?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I mean, I had all mine taken out. I mean, I had a mouthful. I did have all of them taken out many, many years ago, and I'm so glad I did. But people really need to understand that they must, if they want to investigate this issue and consider that perhaps part of their decline of their health is related to the poisoning from the mercury amalgams, which should never be put in our teeth. And as you said, in Europe, they're banning it and not using it any longer, but it persists here. What do people need to know as far as how to do it and who they must see? Because, as you were saying, people are posing as these holistic dentists, but there actually is a very precise protocol, and if you do not follow it, you can actually be further poisoned by removing.
Yeah, there's a few good protocols out. For instance, a simple one is on my website. You just go there and go to the mercury part, and it'll come up as Dr. Zionis's mercury protocol. And it's simple. You stay on supplements for a minimum of 1 week before we take out the mercury fillings. And when you come in to do it, we have this huge vacuum machine. It looks like an elephant trunk. It goes right over your face, and your nose is masked. And we isolate the teeth with cotton so that as everything comes up, it's absorbed into the cotton rolls. But there are a number of good ones. But you need to, if you're going to go to someone, you need to ask them, what do you do? What is your protocol beforehand?
Right.
And you'll get some dentists who say, well, we just take them out carefully. In that case, you go find somebody else.
Right.
Now, that being said, see, now you're going to open a whole can of worms. There is very little that's really good in dentistry. One of the problems we find, particularly with cancer people, and any of you women with breast cancer, or any cancer for that matter, I strongly recommend that you listen. This is important. 90% of the materials that are put in are probably toxic for you. And one of the things that we're starting to do in my practice now is when people come in as new patients, we're doing full blood workups so we can check, you know, the vitamins, the minerals, the C-reactive proteins, the blood glucose levels. And we're getting blood that we're sending to one of the labs to check blood antigen levels. So you'll get back a thick booklet that'll show you out of, let's say, 5,000 dental materials, there are maybe 400 filling materials, and probably 10 of those are good for you to use. The rest are probably not. You need to know that, because you don't want to go from the frying pan into the fire. They're not as poisonous as mercury, but they're not doing you any good. So that's important. And in many cases now, we're moving from the composite materials to just putting in porcelain, which is a lot more inert.
Mm-hmm.
So we test for all that beforehand.
And I want us to move on to root canals, but before we do that, can you just mention about nickel? Because nickel is a metal that is used under a lot of crowns and things.
Yeah, anyone with cancer coming into my office, we sit down, we talk to them about it. It's also, first, nickel's toxic. It's another poison.
I learned this weekend it's the most carcinogenic metal that you could possibly have in your mouth.
Yep. That's pretty much the size of it.
And it's used on a regular basis, right? Now, it's used under crowns. Is it used in other things as well for dentistry?
Yeah, it's also used in orthodontic wires for kids. Yeah, it's here. Porcelain bridges. This is done also, this is not new, this is 1991. The quote here is from Phillips Skinner, Science of Dental Materials, 3rd edition, W.B. Saunders, Chapter 20. All metal or porcelain-covered metals are not gold, but alloys, consisting of some of the following. Ready? Nickel, copper, cadmium, mercury, plutonium, titanium. None of which are good for you. Other alloys, such as nickel, are used in the metal bases of bridges and under porcelain crowns, have been documented to lower the T4 and T8 lymphocytic levels. That was done also in the Journal of Prosthetic Dentistry in the late 1980s. So people have known about this, and here's another little one. When mercury fillings were in close proximity to gold crowns, the mercury released from the filling was 10 times greater compared to mercury fillings alone. So there's a lot to really look at in this. And that's why we say when someone comes in, they have any kind of cancer, if you want to get better, or even if you've gotten better, you've had your treatment, there are some very heavy nutritional programs we put them on. I don't know if you're familiar with the Kelly program.
Mm-hmm. I am.
Okay. We use that in the office. We do metabolic typing for people. It's a 90-page questionnaire we put them on. And we also have them do a saliva test, which is very interesting because it's sent to a lab, and you chew on a paper towel till it's saturated, and then you spit into a clear, clean zip bag. And then you put that bag in a second baggie, you wrap it up, and you send it to this lab, and you will get back what solvents, what bacteria, what metals, toxins, molds, parasites, and dyes, and viruses are in your mouth.
Oh, and what do you do with that information?
Lots of things. First, we go with the patient, and then we see, okay, what are you eating? What are you doing in terms of your health, in terms of your mouth? No, don't use Crest toothpaste. You're better off using food-grade hydrogen peroxide as a brushing material. And I have my patients do a drop of oregano oil on a toothbrush. Very good antibiotic, or rather antibacterial, natural product. And we'll test them like a month later. We want to get out all of the, the metals in their mouth, because particularly clostridium is found throughout the intestines of cancer patients, and it's also in tooth fillings, which can create a crevice between the tooth and the filling. And if any of your teeth are gray or bluish black, that kind of discoloration, you probably have a clostridium infection. So here you are doing all kinds of good things, and because you don't know about this, you're just getting constantly reinfected.
And of course, as we'll get into, that infection can become systemic. So that's the problem.
Well, think of it like this. Here's my statistic. 80%, that's 8 out of every 10 people listening to the show, have some form of gum disease. And we mentioned before, if you have gum disease, you are 4 times as likely to have a stroke or heart problems. We talked about related to cancer, how these reactive proteins coming from the mouth are more indicative of heart disease than cholesterol or triglycerides. But we're talking 80%. We're talking a major, major epidemic in this country. And you could make a case for gum disease not really being a disease, but being the first stages of nutritional deficiencies. Because when we work with people and we don't do surgery, we do lasers and nutritional work and simple cleanings, it goes away.
So can you just go through the indications for periodontal disease? So for people listening, I want them to know what some of the signs and symptoms are.
First, there may be none. I have a great slide. It shows what looks like totally healthy teeth. They look terrific. And then we use a red dye on them to see if there were any bacteria around, and they come out bright red. So there is that, but more than not, you will have either slight reddening around your gums, bleeding, puffiness, a bad taste, and you may even just feel a little lethargic a lot of the time, have low energy. Just a minute.
But if you brush your teeth and you get some bleeding, that's a definite sign of purging.
That's definite. Someone said to me, there's a phrase, pink in the sink.
Yeah.
Which I never heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're brushing your teeth and just that pressure is causing blood to come out, that means your gums are all infected. You have a problem.
Yeah. Can we move on to root canals and then
sure.
we're kind of go and look at some of the basic before we end the program, the basic protocols. So, well, maybe we should just do that right now. What do you recommend for periodontal disease? If someone has bleeding gums, if they floss and they bleed, or if they spit into the sink and they after they're brushing and they see some blood, what would be your suggestion if they should
be? Well, the first thing we do is we get them in the office and then we start probing and seeing just, you know, how bad is it? So we measure the pocket depth, and that's the space between the gum tissue and the tooth itself, which should be about, in a healthy mouth, a millimeter, 1 to 2 millimeters deep. A lot of people will have 4 or 5 millimeters. The other thing that they'll have is receding gums. And it's not that the gums are receding, it's the bone below the gum is being destroyed. The gum is just going down, it's following the bone. It's the bone that's being lost. So I want to find out what's going on. I want to get their blood work to see what sort of infections they do have. We check their diet. We put them on that saliva test. We check what composite filling materials they're allergic to, because they may have people could come in and have no mercury in their mouth, but they could have a couple porcelain to metal crowns and lots of fillings. And when you test them, you find out that all of the filling material that's in their mouth is causing inflammation because they're allergic to it.
Which means they have to be taken out.
They have to be replaced, sure.
Yeah.
And then we put them on the food-grade peroxide. We work with their diet. There's a lot of different supplements that people can do depending on where they are. Again, we do the metabolic testing, so we see whether they're parasympathetic or sympathetic and which level they're at. For instance, a sympathetic dominant would need a total vegetarian diet, whereas a sympathetic moderate could have a little fish in their diet.
Mm-hmm.
So it varies, you know. It's not one lunch feeds all, which is what we used to think. You know, you eat a lot of vegetables and you're fine. But that holds true to a point. But that's also not for everyone. Some people need more fish. Some people need a little more meat, et cetera, et cetera. Some people need more grain. So in a broad sense, that's what we start with. And, again, you can look up a lot of this stuff on my website. And one of the things that we do, which we didn't even touch on, we check their tongue.
Mm-hmm. And the purpose of that?
Is to see how healthy you are. For instance, I'm sure all of you have gone, had a cold or a flu or gone on a detox. And you ever notice what color your tongue is when you're doing that? It turns white. It's because toxins are coming out. So if your tongue is yellow, yellowish-green, it's usually liver gallbladder weakness. If it's gray or grayish-brown, it's the stomach or the intestine. If the tip of the tongue is red, it can be heart or thyroid problems. If there's cracks on the top of the tongue, it's usually indicative of a vitamin deficiency. And if the sides of the tongue are scalloped, like the teeth outlines are there, mm-hmm. You either have a mineral deficiency or it can also be sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm.
So just by waking up in the morning mm-hmm. And taking a look at your mouth, you
yeah.
get a wealth of information immediately.
Yeah, yeah. It becomes a really effective diagnostic tool to your overall health.
Sure. One thing, if you can, you go to my website and look at the little excerpts from The Tongue Never Lies. You can see some before and after pictures mm-hmm. of the way people have changed. And it's really, it's quite something what can happen in a month just by changing your diet and going on supplements.
So,
by the way,
I just want to tell people that, your website is natdent.com because you've got some great information up there, so I want people...
And again, if you have any questions or want some of this information, you can email me at zeines@aol.com.
For Zinus.
Yeah, but it's a shame because if people realized what was going on in their mouths, they'd be a heck of a lot healthier. And yeah. The problem is... dentists are not trained this way. I mean, you go through 4 years of dental school and you learn enough that you don't stick your drill in somebody's eye, which is a good thing. You know, we need that. But all of this other stuff is really not taught.
Yeah, and yet it's so profound, and it's, you know, as you're explaining, and people are really getting a sense of that, how important it is to understand the role of our health and our oral health, and just not the teeth but the gums, and what that relationship is. And before we come to the end of the show, we must talk a little bit about root canals, Victor.
Okay. Because, you want to do it now?
Yes, right now, because we're coming to the end.
Oh, yes, we are. Okay. Picture a big sponge. Now make a hole in the middle of the sponge. That's the hole that we fill when we do a root canal. So you might ask, well, what about all those other little holes? What happens there? What happens there is that they get filled with bacteria that constantly spew out toxins. So these microbes and other toxins from inside the tooth periodically come out and cause reinfections. It's impossible to cure more than 200 diseases unless all of the root canal teeth are removed properly. Because even if you kill the microbes of the disease, the microbes hiding in the root canals can come out and reinfect the person. Mm-hmm. If you have cancer, and you go to some of the main clinics in Europe, they won't let you walk in the door until you have your root canals and your mercury's removed. And 70 to 80% of cancer patients have root canals. This is a quote from Thomas Rue, who's director of the world's famous Purcelli's clinic in Switzerland. It says 147 out of 150 breast cancer patients had root canal infected teeth.
And I saw a statistic, by the way, today that every day 41,000 people are getting root canals. Or there are 41,000 root canals that occur every day in the United States.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned the studies with Weston Price about root canals. Well, and then Georgie Mining also followed up on that subject. But here's a quote. You'll like this. The Weston Price conclusions, i.e. that there is no safe way to do a root canal filling, track with my experience with counseling cancer patients for the past 8 years. This is from Mercola.com. Cancer continues to worsen.
Do you not do root canals, Victor?
Most of the time, I don't. It's a tough call. I turned away three of my patients that have been patients of mine for a long time. I said, I can't do root canals on you because you have cancer, and there's no way I'll do a root canal on someone with cancer.
Right. So it needs to be pulled.
Yeah.
It needs to be pulled.
Now, some people don't want to do that. They say, well, okay, what about, what's the alternative? And the alternative really is putting in implants, zirconium implants, because they are not toxic. Now, here's where it gets muddy. Let's say you're healthy. You know, not every root canal is a killer.
Are there some ways to test? Do you do muscle testing? Do you do any ways of testing if root canal?
I'm a muscle testing freak. I studied many years. I do a lot of kinesiology in my office.
Yeah, so you can tell using that tool, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Easy.
But the real big message is that if you have a lot of root canals going on, you are at high risk of having this chronic infection that becomes systemic and weakens the immune system. And just in a few minutes left.
One of the first things I would do when someone comes in and says, I have six root canals, let's say, do blood tests and see where their C-reactive protein levels are.
So look at inflammation.
Exactly. Inflammation is the key. They just came out with a study last week, blew me away. They said, you know what, we'll reduce recurrence of cancer by 20%. Did you see this? It's aspirin.
Mm-hmm.
Aspirin.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when it came out, I turned to Kim and I said, they're talking about reducing the inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's so many things that are much more potent than that. But it was great just that they came out with that. They didn't say it was due to the anti-inflammatory response. They just said, this is what the study showed. There's a 20% less return of cancer in people who take one adult aspirin a day.
You know,
it was a well-done study.
And the big story here and the big picture for people listening is that there is a big story in regards to what's going on in your mouth and the consequences, short-term and potentially long-term, for your health, including the increased risk of chronic illnesses that can either be caused or exacerbated by the condition of your mouth, which reflects the overall condition in your body. And it is really important to find dentists like yourself, known as biological dentists, that have this knowledge to work with you in getting healthy, not just putting more toxic materials or doing procedures that aren't addressing the root cause issue.
Your mouth is like a toxic time bomb. We tell people, we sell the 3 books on the website, and we tell people, you buy these books and you read and you do what's in there. If you don't add 10 years to your life, write us and we'll give you a full refund. And, we say that a little tongue in cheek, but there's a lot of truth to that. If you start eating healthy and you clean up what really should be obvious to do that, you can enjoy many, many years of a healthy, happy life, and there's no reason that shouldn't be. And I think that's really the goal of what dentistry is all about.
So we only have a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else you want to say? And people really should visit your website.
We haven't talked about the connection between acupuncture and your teeth, how each tooth is connected to a meridian. But you can go on my website. You can look it up. There's a big chart there. You can see which of your teeth are related to an acupuncture meridian. I'll do it very quickly right now because we don't have a lot of time, I see. Let's say you have a filling or a crown on a canine tooth. It's not uncommon for people to have that, to have yellow, yellowish green tongues and digestive problems because the canine tooth is related to liver and gallbladder.
And what about the meridian, the tooth that's connected to the meridian that impacts the breast?
Say that again?
The tooth that's on the meridian that impacts the breast. Which tooth is that?
For what?
Cancer. Well, increased risk cancer. Of, that might increase the incidence of breast cancer or be...
Yes. It is the upper molars. Not the wisdom teeth, but the two in front of that and the lower premolars on both sides.
So basically what we're saying, if there's like a root canal or even amalgam and on those teeth that relate to the meridians that go through the breast, it can be impacting and compromising the health of the energy flow.
As a dentist, I really can't legally, tell people to get them out, but I show them this and I say I would think long and hard about keeping that in my mouth if I were you.
And
they get it.
Even though, it's such an emotional thing to have a tooth removed, we try to hang on.
To die.
Yeah, that's the point. That's the point. You've got to let it go if it's really a toxic situation that's compromising your life.
Particularly now, it's not like you're going to walk around with these teeth in a jar for the rest of your life. You could have implants put in.
Yeah.
You can really build up your body. There are so many different, like you said, I do the Kelly program, and we do some prostate programs for actually they're very good with women with breast cancer.
Victor, I'm going to have unfortunately because we've come to the end. It's been a great conversation, and I just personally want to thank you.
We just got started.
I know. We'll have to have you back, but you're doing such great work, Victor. Thank you so much. I recommend everyone visit Dr. Victor Zinus' website, natdent.com, and thank you for being with us today.
It's my pleasure.
And for all my listeners, thank you. And for all my listeners, thank you. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.